Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Super duper. You all having a good day?
Oh yeah.
Sun is shining. Who's that? Bob Marley. Yeah. Bob Marley's behind me. Okay. It's a bank holiday, so a few people away. Don't understand it really. They don't work in a bank, but they've still had a holiday anyway. But a bunch. Okay. So let's get on with the word before I start getting silly, shall we? Okay. So we're going to be looking in Ephesians again today. So much in Ephesians. There really is. We could stay there forever, I suppose. But yeah, we're going to be looking from Ephesians chapter 4, mainly. And God was starting to speak to me a while back about unity. And then, lo and behold, I look in chapter 4, and there it is, of Ephesians chapter 4, talking about unity. So, what does unity mean? And it was the definition on Wikipedia, I believe it was. The state of being united or joined as a whole. Pretty basic stuff. Pretty basic stuff, but you know, that is how God wants us to be as a body of people. Okay, we're family. He calls us into his own family. That makes you my brothers, that makes you my sisters, whether you like it or not. You get to choose your friends, but you don't get to choose your family. That's what they say, isn't it? So yeah, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3. So, obviously, originally, this would just roll. It would have been one letter. And so, Ephesians chapter 3 just would have rolled straight into chapter 4 with no chapters or verses. But, hey, it's a good reference for us, isn't it? Anyway, so, here we are. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more that we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I just love that verse because God's not limited to our prayers. You know, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Isn't that good? You know, sometimes you think, well, God only does stuff in answer to our prayer. But no, he actually goes beyond that. I think he knows the desires and what's inside of our hearts, and he can answer those kind of things as well. Perhaps it's a prayer of the heart that doesn't actually come out of your mouth. Anyway, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. So here's Paul. He's writing all this stuff from a jail cell. You think you got it bad? Think about Paul. And here he was. He's still rejoicing, still kind of lifting God high and going for it. Right, that's a side issue. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Is that the end of verse 3, is it, Angus? Yeah, okay, thanks, mate. Okay, so there he is, the Apostle Paul. And he's begging. He's begging the church. I'm guessing he could have commanded it, being as he was an apostle. You know, he could have said, look, guys, this is how I want you to do it. But no, Paul wasn't like that. He was begging. And so, yeah, we're going to do it today. I'm begging you. All right. Live a life worthy of the calling that God has put upon your life. All right, so how are we to do that? You know, what kind of lifestyle are we supposed to live? It's written there for us. Be humble and be gentle. You know, it's something that we can be. It's not necessarily something that you are just born with. You can actually activate humility. You can activate gentleness. You know, it just says, it's all right, I know, I understand that some of you out there are proud and some of you out there are rough, so I'm not really talking to you. But no, he's talking to the whole church and he's saying we need to be humble and be gentle, which Jesus was, of course, and yet he was the most powerful being in the universe. Okay, so it's the opposite of being proud. It's the opposite of being stern and harsh and nasty like that. How many people look for proud, stern, harsh people to be friends with? Is it a quality you'd kind of look for? Ah, yeah, that person over there, really proud and stern and harsh. Yeah, I just want to be best mates with that person. No, you wouldn't, would you? No. Okay. So how else can we live up to the awesome calling that God has put upon our life? Be patient and allow for faults because of your love. Okay, so it's official. Believers have faults. Look around at one another. You know you want to. We all have faults. Not even I'm perfect. Okay. I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe. Don't ask Sharon afterwards, all right? Okay. God is at work in our lives, though, yeah? He is refining us, making us more like Jesus. I'm assuming there that we're abiding in relationship with Jesus, because you stray away from that, then you start to get in a bit of a mess. All right, so we come with quirks, don't we? You know, we come as we are to God, and sometimes it takes a little bit of working through in our characters. I guess we're only going to be totally perfected when we get up to heaven. The only thing stopping us from a perfect relationship is Jesus, is us being alive. Okay, moving on. We come with quirks. You know, some of us are a bit tetchy. Some of us are impatient. Some of us are intense. Some of us are too laid back. Some of us are aggressive. Some of us are passive. Some of us are sensitive. Some of us are insensitive. You know, we come with all kinds of quirks, don't we? I see everybody smiling out there. It's kind of like, is it ringing some kind of bells with you or something? All right. You know, God saw all of that in us, but he chose us anyway. Isn't that a relief? You know, God chose us anyway. He's not going to leave us the way we are, of course. You know, and for some of us, he's moved us on from one place where we were to the place where we're at now. And where we're at now isn't the finished article. He's got some more work to do in us. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, if you was God or I was God, we could have said, yeah, I'm bored. I'm bored of watching you guys down there just struggling on and on. You keep on failing. You keep on messing up over and over again. That's it. I'm finished with you. I'm just going to stick with the angels. I'm going to stick with people that are perfect. But he didn't. And why didn't he do that? Because, okay, because he loves us. I've drawn a little love heart on here. He loves us. God's love does not give up on us. Aren't you glad? Love makes allowances for faults. That's good, isn't it? Contrary to the song, love will tear us apart again. Love will tear us apart. Anybody heard that song? Love will tear us apart again. By Joy Division, which is a bit of a contradiction. But yeah, it's by Joy Division they used to sing that song. Love will tear us apart again. True love does not tear us apart. You know, it brings us together. It brings unity. It brings unity. All right. So the same love that God has got, he has put inside of us. It talks about God has shed his love into our hearts and is shed abroad from us. Okay, or worse to that effect. I'm paraphrasing. All right. God has put his love inside of us, and he expects us to make allowances for the faults that each of us have within our lives. And we've got to do that, and I'm sure we do that. All right. So Sharon puts up with me because she loves me. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? I like to think it's because I'm so hot she loves me. But, you know, we've been married long enough now. We're way past all that kind of slishy, sloshy stuff. All right. But, you know, we can dream, can't we? Or I can dream, should I say. Okay. All right. Nota bene. That's not an excuse to act like an idiot and mistreat people, by the way. I say, oh, well, everyone's got faults, so I'm just going to act like an idiot. You know, don't be like that. We make allowances for faults when we're trying to live a life that is worthy of the call that God has put upon us. So it comes with that caveat, if you like. Okay, you can expect a roasting if you're going to act like an idiot all the time. You know, the Bible's quite clear about that. You're going to reap what you sow in life. Yeah? For example, you can have a look in the book of Proverbs where it says, the mouth of a fool invites a beating. That's Proverbs 18, verse 6. It's talking about in the unbelieving world. It doesn't mean that you've got to be the executor of that kind of justice, all right? So don't punch people in the mouth just because they say something you don't like, all right? But the mouth of a fool invites a beating. So we've got to be careful, in other words, about what we're saying. There's going to be a little bit more about that later on. Okay, but here's a fact that I'm sure we all know. People can be hard work. People can be hard work, but we're told to make every effort to keep united. That's why we got to make every effort, in fact, because people can be hard work. Yeah? So we make every effort to be united. In other words, work at it. Get to know one another. You know, perhaps those quirks are there because they're going through some stuff or they've been through some stuff. And here's a thought. Maybe you can help them through that stuff. That's a scary thought to think, isn't it? Okay, but the fact is we are united in the Spirit. All right, so the Spirit of God that he put inside of us is in total agreement with himself. And my spirit is in total agreement with your spirit. Now, the only trouble with that is our flesh gets in the way. That's why we've got to live more and more in the Spirit, as the Bible talks. You know, let's live in the Spirit. Let's do things that the Spirit of God will want us to do. And then, you know, that unity is going to be at work inside of us. So my spirit can say, yeah, Jesus loves me. He is my Lord. And your spirit inside of you is going to say, yes and amen. I recognize that. You know, there's something about those words that your spirit totally agrees with, yeah? So we can see that's the kind of way that God has caused us to be united in our spirits. Okay, so we've got to live to please the Spirit and not the flesh. And that's where the unity is going to come from. We're not going to agree about everything. You know, we might, let's think about this one. There's an election coming up. We might vote different ways. You know, we might have different political aspirations. I don't know. Is that the right word? Or different political leanings or whatever. You know, that's not the kind of thing we're talking about. Just because we think differently about this, that and the other, it doesn't mean that we can't be united in the Spirit. There's another one. We're not talking about Man United because I'm a Liverpool fan. All right. Okay, so you might support a different football team to me. Doesn't matter. We can still be united in the Spirit. Okay, let's move on to Ephesians 4, verse 4 through to 6. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. Okay, so we can see there the unity that God has in mind for us. Let's take a look at some of the gifts that God has poured out upon the church. In fact, verse 7 of Ephesians 4, it says, God has given each one of us gifts. We were looking at this on Tuesday with the chaps. God's given every single one of us gifts. Let me hear you say, God has given me a gift. It's the truth. It's the truth. God has given us all gifts. And these gifts that appear later on in Ephesians chapter 4 are what they call the ministry gifts. There are also many other gifts within the Bible that God gives to us, but let's flash them up there, please, Angus. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Right, okay, so verse 13, just leave it up there for a second. What does it say there? These gifts, what does it say that these gifts will bring? Right, to the end there. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. Is there any more there, Angus, or is that the end of it? This will continue, thank you. This will continue until we all come to such unity. That's the part that I wanted to look at in particular. Such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So God has got a purpose in giving these gifts to the church. That is to bring us to such unity in our faith, of knowledge of God's Son. God wants us to be mature. Or he wants us to grow up. Okay? It's not God's intention for us to forever stay as baby Christians. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to deepen in our faith in him. Okay, now the danger is that we can see the whole world through our own gifting glasses, if you like. So, for instance, a prophetic gift that reveals the will of God. And those who are prophetic say, what we need to see in the church is more prophecy, more people prophesying, you know. And yes, we do. Of course we do. But if that's all we ever did, who's going to win people to Christ? Now, the evangelist says we need to win people. We need to be out there. We need to be reaching people for Jesus. We need to be preaching the gospel more. We need to be out on the doors. We need to be doing this, that, and the other, because the world is lost, which it is. And of course, we need to bring people to know Jesus. But if every message that we ever brought to church was an evangelistic message, how are we ever going to grow in the knowledge of God's word? Okay, so the teacher, he says, everything we need can be found in the word. It's all in the word. You know, you can grow in God in the word. You can feed yourself in the word. You can get God's promises into your life. Everything you need is found in the word. And of course, that is true. But if all that we ever did was hear from the word, how are we going to get pasteurized? It's not really a word. I just made it up. You know, who's going to give us the pastoral care that we need? Who's going to look after us when we're hurting? Who's going to look after the flock? Who's going to pick people up when they're down, etc.? Who's going to get us out of the thorn bushes? If you imagine that, you know, we're the sheep of God and the pastor comes and they look after the sheep. Who's going to be the one that helps people when they're hurting? Okay, and so the pastors think, everybody should be looked after. We need to be looking after one another, which is true. We need to be looking after one another. You know, we need pastors to care over us. But if that's all we ever did, how will we get the apostolic breakthrough that comes into our lives? You know, we need apostolic breakthroughs. We need power. We need authority to be able to establish the kingdom of God, etc. So, what am I trying to say? All the gifts are supposed to work together. And that's unity. That's like Anthony Joshua knocking somebody out. Anybody watch that fight last night? I didn't either. But anyway, I'm glad the result was the way it was. All right. The truth is, if we were all alike, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough. We need each other. Okay. So unity was incredibly important to Jesus. And we can see that. Let's have a look at John chapter 17. And when you think about when he was praying this as well, this was just before he was going to be betrayed, just before he was going to endure the crucifixion. And yet this was the thing that was on his heart at this time. And this is it. Jesus praying to the Father in heaven. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. And then let's move on to verses 22 and 23. These are awesome words from Jesus, aren't they? I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. And I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. I just love the end of that verse. You love them as much as you love me. Did you know God loves me as much as he loves Jesus? Did you know that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible that God loves us that way? See, God is perfect in love. He's got enough love to go around to everybody. He just maxes on love all the time. So he can't love Jesus any more than he loves you, because he is just love itself. Okay, so straying off the point a bit, but Jesus' prayer there was for perfect unity. And if Jesus prayed it, I believe that it's going to happen. You know, when Jesus prays something, it's always going to happen. You know, because he was the man that was full of faith. He was the one that lived that perfect life down here on earth. And we're looking forward to that place of perfect unity, where it's going to be such a powerful time, you know, when God is going to sweep across the earth in power and in might. So that's the will of God for us, perfect unity. Guess what the devil would like to do? Okay, he would like to tear us apart, to bring disagreement. You know, he loves church splits. Uses all kinds of different things to try and break believers up, to cause division in relationships, etc. He's going to use things like fear. You know, is the pastor ever coming back? By the way, yes, he is. All right, it's just being a bit like Jesus. We don't know when, but he is coming back. All right. He's going to come a lot sooner than Jesus, though. Times. Anyway, right, I'm straying on. Okay, so the enemy, he likes to use so many different things to bring division into our lives. All right, but God has got us in his hand. You know, we've got to believe that. We haven't got to fear what the devil is trying to do. All right, do we believe that God is in control of the church? Do we believe that God knows every circumstance we're going through, even though the pastor's not been around for a while? Do we believe that God's still in control?
Yes.
Yes, we do, because he is. So we need not fear. Okay, what other things will he use? He uses things like gossip. He uses things like slander. You know, I was up here preaching not too long ago that words are powerful things. Powerful to build us up, but they can be powerful to tear down as well. Let's take a look at something that David wrote down in the Psalms. Psalm 59, verse 7. Listen to the filth that comes from their mouths. Their words cut like swords. After all, who can hear us? They sneer. You know, we can see from that words are powerful things. Just need to do a little sermon illustration now. And I bought a nice little knife here. So how many folks would like to see me cut my fingers off? Not really. Not really. It's going to make a good sermon illustration. All right, are you ready? Are you ready? Ow! I was just for the people on the podcast. It's all right, folks on the podcast. My fingers are all intact. All right, I'm glad you said no. I'm glad you said no. That shows that we have health in the body and you've got a healthy mind. All right. So I'm very glad. I'm very glad that you all said no, because you'd be a bit strange if you'd have said, yeah, do it, do it. You know, there'd be something wrong with the wiring in your mind. And as for me, yeah, they'd be coming to take me away, because that's not the kind of behavior that would be expected from a man of God. Okay, so it would be absolute madness to do that, wouldn't it? Okay, so why did I do that? What a strange illustration. The question is, why do we think it's acceptable behavior to attack another member of the body of Christ? Okay. So we're all members of the body of Christ. The Bible uses that illustration. It says, yeah, some are eyes, some are ears, some are legs, and some are other parts of the body. Why do we think it's acceptable behavior to attack another member of the body of Christ with our words, with the sword that comes from our mouths, yeah? It's not acceptable, is it? It's not acceptable. Right, I got a word for you. If you find yourself talking negatively against a member of the body, stop. Stop. Okay, or even if you hear it, someone's talking negatively about another member of the body, just say, Is it all right if I don't listen to this? Walk away. I tell you, that'll work a treat. That'll work a treat. It really will. Okay, so all this talk about unity and things like that. We're family, yes? Do we recognize that we're family? Yeah. Is it all right if I talk some family business now? We're all one in Christ. Yeah? The love of God is in us. Right, so we've got a bit of a pressing family issue at the moment within the church, and I'm talking about the finances. All right, they're shrinking. They're shrinking a bit. Yeah? Well, in fact, I think they're shrinking a lot when they should be overflowing. Right, the things we want to do as a church at the moment, but we can't because of the lack of finances. Right, so just for the record, I want you to know that the church leadership believes and practices tithing. Believes and practices tithing. I do mine via the internet. You won't always see me putting stuff in the little tub there because it goes across the internet. You can do that as well if you want to. That's absolutely fine. But the word tithe, the tithe means tenth. Okay, so we can keep it simple. All right, and it's good for your maths as well, for a fella like me. Keeps it nice and simple. All right, the word means a tenth of earnings before your tax, before your stoppages. All right, that is what the Bible teaches. And that tenth goes into God's house for its upkeep and for the work of God. So, the Bible teaches it. Is the Bible the Word of God? Is this the Word of God?
Yeah.
Do we believe that, yeah? So, is this God speaking to us?
Yeah.
Is it a personal letter from Him to us, His children? It is. Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm glad you believe that as well. I'm in the right place. All right. So, this church, Elohim Church, has taught this from its inception, from when it began, okay? It's written in the church's vision that we are to be a generous people. And yeah, we proved that recently with our guest speakers when they've come. So well done for that. Well done for that. But for some reason, there's some in the family that have decided that tithing's not for them. I don't know who you are. All right. So I'm not looking at anybody. Okay. But I just want you to know that, yes, tithing is for you. Now I'm going to read some scripture. And this isn't like Paul when he was begging, all right? This is just a direct word from God to his people. We're probably going to have to cover this again because there's quite a few people that are away at the moment. But you're getting it fresh this morning, all right? So some of you may know where we're going. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. So this is God speaking. And when God speaks, it's always a command. I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are all you are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Strong, strong words, those, aren't they? So God speaks those commands. Right, let's have a little look at verse 10 there. See what it says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. I'm going to pause it there for a second. We'll come back to that in a bit, please, Angus. Okay, so it doesn't say anywhere there, you can tithe if you feel like it. You know, it doesn't say you can tithe if you can afford it, because that's just a human argument. Let's do a little bit of myth-busting, shall we, about tithing. Some people think, well, tithing is also Old Testament, isn't it? But it does also bring it out in the New Testament as well. Okay, and if we have a look at verse 6 there, we've just read it. I am the Lord, I change not. So God's not going to change his mind about tithing. You know, that's the very context of what he's talking about. He's not going to change his mind about tithing. And in Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, yes, you should tithe. Does anybody know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yeah. Let me see your hands. Wave at me. So Jesus is your Lord and he's your Savior. Yes. That means you've got to do what he says. Yes, you should tithe. All right, so the tithe came in before the law was set into place. In other words, before Moses wrote down the Ten Commandments and all the other stuff that he wrote. And it was also after the law as well. Jesus talked about it, and prophetically as well. And here's another myth. Well, it's my money. I can tithe to other ministries. I don't have to bring it into the church. I can do with it whatever I like. Well, yes, you are free to choose to do whatever you like. That is true. That cannot be denied. You have free choice. But what does God want for you? Well, that may well be a different matter. Okay, if you belong to God, it's not your money. Did you know that? Am I allowed to say that? All right. If you belong to God, it's not your money, because everything you are is his, and he's availed himself to you as well. Everything that he is, he wants to get to you. But he is Lord, and he is King. But let's get practical. If you was a family, all right, if everybody thought to themselves, well, I'm going to tithe, but I'm not going to put it into the church. If we all did that, what would happen to the church? I heard it at the back there. It would close down. Yeah, we'd have to shut. We wouldn't be able to pay the mortgage. We wouldn't be able to pay the electricity bills. We wouldn't be able to do anything without a little bit of money. All right, that's how God challenges our hearts. Do you love money? Do you love me? Do you love me more than money? You know, and he gives us that challenge, doesn't he, to tithe. We've got to love God more than we love money. All right. Now, if I said to Sharon, my lovely wife, you can't shop this week, my love, because I've given my earnings to the next door neighbour, I think I'd be coming to church for healing. Because I am responsible for my family. All right. By all means, practice giving offerings to other ministries. You can do that. There are loads of brilliant causes out there that you can give your offerings to. That is very cool. But our tithe belongs here. Yeah? We're responsible for this family. If you're part of this family, if you committed yourself here, this is your storehouse. You need to bring your tithe into this place. Imagine in some odd world that the church leadership decreed, well, if you don't tithe, you can't have any refreshments. If you don't tithe, you can't use the loo. If you don't tithe, you're going to have to sit on the floor. You think, oh, that's a little bit uncaring. That's not going to happen, by the way. But let's flip that round a second, shall we? Let's flip that round. Is it fair for the rest of the family carries your burdens if you're not bringing a tithe in? I think that's a good question. Okay. Wouldn't you rather feel that you got an investment in this place? An investment in this place, you know? And God's going to cash that investment in. Do you believe that? Yeah. That God is faithful when he says he's going to pour out from heaven onto you. And that's the whole thing. We've got to have faith that God is going to do that for us. Keep on loving me, yeah? All right. Myth number three. I'm too skint to tithe. I tithe when I'm better off. Question is, will you be better off? Will you be better off? Because verse 9 says, you're under a curse. A strong, strong language that is, isn't it? I didn't say it, all right. So don't have a go at me. It's Jesus who wrote it down. God who wrote it down. All right. Verse 9, you are under a curse because you're not bringing the tithe in. All right. So it's a curse of poverty, you know. But you say, ah, yeah, but, you know, we're in the age of grace now. God understands. Does he? Does he understand? Let's take a look in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through to 44. I like this. This is an interesting passage of scripture. Jesus sat down near the collection box. So I guess he'd be kind of sitting over there if he was in this place. In the temple, and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor she is, has given everything she had to live on. You know, Jesus didn't walk up to her and say, "It's all right, love, you don't need to give today. You keep those coins for yourself." He didn't do that because he knew that she was sowing into her future. She was sowing for a better future. See, God is no man's debtor. If we sow into the kingdom of God, he's going to sow into us. That is the way that it works. Okay, if you can expect God to get you out of a financial jam. I'm not saying you don't ever get into a financial jam. I'm sure many of you have, or you might even be in the moment. I don't know, but God is faithful, and he can help you. You know, as long as you're faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to you. That is a fact. Okay, he's done it for me recently, and I'm sure if you talk to Keith, he'll tell you many stories about you know, what God's done for him, and also many other stories that he's read or heard about. He could keep you for hours on this kind of thing. All right. So every time that you don't tithe, you're picking God's pocket. Strong words, isn't it? Thanks, Darren. Oh, yes. Again, his words. You're robbing me. You're robbing me. You're cheating God. Wow. Very strong words. Very strong words. You know, that's what Judas did. When Judas was one of the 12 disciples before he killed himself, he used to rob money from the purse, the collection purse that the disciples had. You know, it's good to follow the example of many men and women in the Bible, but let's not follow that one. All right. Let's not rob God of the tithes and the offerings he deserves. All right. You're right for one more myth? All right. I only need to tithe when I attend church. Really? Okay, so if a tithe is a tenth, then we need to be setting that apart. We've had some fantastic teaching in this church about setting aside the first fruits of our earnings for God. So whatever comes in first, we need to set them aside. If you're not going to be at church at 1 week, it doesn't mean that you don't have to tithe. Set it aside to bring it in, okay? We need to bring the whole tithe in, the whole tenth. Set it apart for God's purposes. And then God's promises for you are blessing. You need to do it for your sake. You need to do it for your family's sake. You need to do it for this family's sake. Okay, let's read from verse 10 to 12. Now, usually God encourages us and then he brings a challenge. He's done it the other way around this time when he's talking in these verses. He's given everybody a rocket and then brings the encouragement afterwards. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, that's a big if, that is, all right. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it. How many people want some of that in their life?
Yeah, come on.
Okay. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. You know, we can contextualize that to today. You can make sure that your car carries on running. You can make sure that you don't spring a leak in your house or whatever. You will watch over your clothes and things like that. You can experience God protecting your stuff, for want of a better word. All right? And he will guard them from disease, mildew or whatever. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight. Do you want to be a delight? Okay, then you need to bring in that tithe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So it's a promise from God. Okay, so yeah. Test me in this. Sometimes it can be a test. You think, well, I just haven't got enough brass at the moment. It can be a bit of a test of faith. All right, take the test and pass the test. You're going to find out that God will come through for you. He always does. If he's promised it, it's going to happen. God can't break his promise. God can't break his promise. If he does, we've all had it. The universe would have to go into chaos, right? Let's give God our first fruits, the first part of our earnings. Let's remember Jesus' words. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? He's told us to tithe. We need to be a tithing people. Okay? So, come on. Let's be the people that are going to live that life that is worthy of the calling of God upon our lives. Let's make allowances for one another's faults. And let's make every effort to stay united together. And let's obey that command that God has given us to tithe. Could I have the band up, please? All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. We're going to talk to Father. All right. Yeah, Father, I want to thank you that you love us as much as you love Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be united together as a people. And God, I want to pray that you're going to cause that to be something that we put into effect within our lives, that we will not let anything stand in the way, Lord, of the unity that you desire your children to have, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if there are things that we need to put in place, Lord God, if there's just forgiveness that we need to seek from you, that we're going to be able to do that today. If there's forgiveness that we need to seek from one another, we're going to be able to do that today. And Lord, I just want to pray that you're going to bless this place financially. I want to pray, Lord God, that you're going to pour out from heaven, just like you said you would, such a blessing that we're not going to be able to contain it. And I just want to give an invitation. You know, sometimes when we talk about money, when we talk about finances, you think, hey, man, I could do with some prayer. I could do with some financial breakthrough in my life. And, if that's you and you're looking for God to bring some financial breakthrough into your life, then, we'd love to pray for you this morning and just stand with you. We're going to ask Father God to come and to bring the financial breakthrough that you need. I bought some pens up to the front this morning with little bits of paper. I don't know where you're at with the whole tithing thing, but just as a little thing of dedication, you might want to write something down anonymously if you want to God. Say, God, I want to say that I'm going to dedicate my first fruits unto you. And you can put that in the offering basket. Just as like a little promise that you want to give to God, that you want to put things straight with him when it comes to the tithes and to the offerings. And you might even want to write a little prayer on there. God, help me to be faithful in my giving. And Lord, I want to pray that you will just pour out on me financial blessings so I can be a blessing to this house. Okay, so you're welcome to do that. You don't have to, but you're welcome to do that. But just as we sing this last song now, if you want some kind of financial breakthrough in your life, come forward and we're going to stand together. I'm going to be here, and if no one else can pray for you, can pray for me, okay? So, you come now. Don't wait, don't hesitate. Come on, up on your feet, guys.